Welcome to this episode of Coastal Catch-Ups. In this episode, I chat to Joy and David from Killaloe Coastal Rowing Club. I find out about the important role the club plays in connecting people with their coastline and how coastal rowing is a great way to do that, whether you're competitive or just want to explore new places. You'll notice a bit of background noise in this episode, and that is because I am in the club shed. I should say this is actually David's shed, helping prep the boat to hit the water. I say help, I probably held the team back a bit on the evening, but sure, it was good to have a catch up with them. So I hope you enjoy the episode and I'll catch you soon.
It's all about marine and the coastal sea, aquatic life and everything in between. So sit on there, hey, and take a seat. Coastal Catch-Ups with Sam P.
Joy, thank you very much for having me round in the shed, the club shed.
You're very welcome. I'm not sure that David would call it the club shed because it actually is his shed rather than the club shed. But yes, he very kindly allows us to keep our boat here when we're doing maintenance to it, yeah.
In terms of how you got involved, so this is Killaloe Coastal Rowing Club.
It is.
That's the correct title.
Yes.
How did you get involved?
Personally?
Yes.
Personally, I got involved. I was sitting in my living room, and I'm fortunate to live looking out at the water.
Uh-huh.
And I used to see these boats going up and down with people rowing them, and I thought, oh, I could do that. And then this one day, the boat came actually, my neighbour, which is about three doors down, was the lady captain at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat actually came right down to practically outside her house, and she got into it and went off and I said, oh, that's even better than picking up at your house. But that only ever happened once. So I saw the boat rowing up and down the lock, or the two boats rowing up and down the lock, and I made inquiries. Went along to a taster day about, gosh, it must only be 2.5 years. Years ago,
2 years,
and went into the boat, started rowing, and straight away I said, "Where do I sign up?"
Yeah,
and just fell in love with it absolutely straight away.
Why did you fall in love with it? What was about it? Was it getting out in the fresh air? Or
well,
it...
I liked the water. I mean, yeah. I had kayaked, I canoed before. I did a wee bit of windsurfing. I liked to swim, so I liked being on the water.
Uh-huh.
And I also liked being involved with other people.
Yeah.
So what was so nice about all of this was, you know, there's five of you in the boat.
Yeah.
And if both boats are out, there's 10 of you.
Okay.
And then when you go to regattas, you're meeting other people from other clubs.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a real social event.
Yeah.
We have, in our club, we have social rowers and we have competitor rowers.
Okay.
You can be both,
mm-hmm.
which I very much am. So in a social row, you're just going out, you're going to the island, you're maybe having a picnic,
mm-hmm.
a cup of tea, coffee, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the competitive rowing, you're obviously then competing in the regattas.
Okay.
So, where possible, we try to do a lot of social rowing. We have a lot of birthdays, so we celebrate a lot of birthdays with cake and bubbles when we're out rowing. And then we also put the hard work in and do all the training.
Okay.
And it's all year round.
Okay.
Okay, so I row all year round through the winter as long as the wind allows us.
Okay.
The only thing that stops us is the strength of the wind.
Right. And that's, is it basically just because you can't row against the wind? Is
well, you've wind and tide in the loft,
uh-huh.
but it's just too dangerous.
Okay. Yeah.
They sort of say our maximum wind strength is about 17, 18 knots.
Okay.
Now, we have been out in worse.
Yeah.
You know, you maybe go out and it's not as blowing as hard, and
mm-hmm.
then you're out there and the wind picks up.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a good experienced crew if you're going out in stronger winds.
Yeah.
Obviously, our social rowers would be cutting off definitely
yeah.
at 15.
Okay.
You know,
so you need to be savvy with forecasts.
You need the cocks particularly,
yeah.
so you have your four rowers and
uh-huh.
your cocks who obviously steers the boat.
Okay.
So the cocks is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know you're going to be cocks, yes, you should be checking out the weather, checking out the wind, checking out the tide, what direction, in or out.
Okay.
But we are lucky for our boats are, no matter whether the tide's in or out, we can still launch.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it just means a longer shove.
Yeah.
Down to the water, it tides out, no longer pull back up, but thankfully
yeah.
you can go any time,
okay.
as long as the weather, wind is in our favour.
Yeah. So the cocks and the crew can rotate them.
Yes, if the
yeah, is it the rowing boats and you're seeing favourites and stuff? The cock is it the cocks like kind of is a small person that sits there all the time?
Yes.
Or is it slightly different then in coastal rowing?
Yes. Anybody? Well, generally, if you're competing, okay. obviously you have to, you can think about the weight.
Okay.
Of the boat.
Need to be tactical.
Okay. We're not that serious about it, so we'll accept anybody who's going to cocks.
Okay.
And yes, if you say we're rowing from Killalay, we want to do a nice long row. We've rowed it from Killalay to Kirkcubbin, and then from Kirkcubbin across to Skettrick and back.
Okay.
So if you're doing that length of a row, you maybe row half an hour and then just move up the boat.
Right.
And then somebody, the next person does cocks, and then you go to the back and then just keep moving up the boat. So it's good, and you get to row both sides and in all seats.
Yeah.
The seats are actually numbered where the cocks sits.
Okay.
And then this is seat four,
mm-hmm.
seat three, seat two, and seat one.
Okay.
So this seat one, which is facing directly in front of the cocks, is known as stroke.
Okay.
So they determine the length of the stroke.
Right.
All right. And they determine the speed of the stroke.
Yeah.
The middle two are like your powerhouse.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They're the ones that are really the stronger two.
Uh-huh.
And then the back again is putting in this, the strength, but they're slightly
generally
higher out of the water,
okay.
so not just getting the same power
right.
on the shore.
Okay.
So,
and
smaller
steerage
ones.
Wise,
that's
yeah.
totally up to the cocks. They have a rudder,
okay, so
which,
the rudder goes on the air.
That's the rudder beside
okay.
there,
yeah, yeah.
So it goes on there, and yeah, the two strings, and then a few of the different clubs have different types of rudders, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And is timing? I've never, so you're talking to a novice rower, in fact, never rowed in my life.
Okay.
Is timing hard? Or what's the biggest challenge?
Well, you'll talk through the whole stroke. So, believe it or not, that's the front of the boat behind me.
Yeah.
It's a sailing rowing level. So you talk about oars forward in the water, but they're actually behind
uh-huh.
you. So when you put your oar into the water, that's called the catch.
Uh-huh.
So everybody is literally looking, all four oars are looking to enter the water the same as stroke, the same time, the same.
Yep.
Stroke can never be out of time,
okay, so
okay. but the rest of us can be out of time.
Okay.
So you've got your timing and the catch, then you've got your power stroke,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got your recovery.
Okay.
And so you're stretching forward as far as you can to get the oar behind you. And then you're doing as long a stroke, and then you're leaning back as far as you can. The oar comes just out of the water, and you're looking just to have it skim the edge of the water on the way back. You're tightening your core, you're pushing through your calves, your legs, your stomach, but trying to keep your shoulders relaxed and your hands relaxed on the oar. It's not a tight grip or a real,
okay.
you know, you're trying to be, your upper body's trying to be quite relaxed, but your power is coming through from the core and down.
Okay.
You know,
so it's a good workout?
It can be a good workout. You will know about it the next day. Or after regatta, if you row really, really hard,
yeah.
you will know about it the
okay.
next day. Yes,
okay.
very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. And our club, we have juniors. So our juniors start at 13?
No. 11 and up.
Okay, younger, 11 and up. And our oldest member is probably 76, 77?
Well, they're probably not disclosing it entirely, but pretty close. Yes, actually. So upper 70s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So literally
yeah.
we have a wide range. We're
Thank
actually
you.
Probably 50 plus heavy.
Uh-huh.
So we have more people probably in the 50 plus category than
okay.
we have under 50.
Okay.
And we probably would be more women than men.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we do ladies rowing, we do men's rowing, and we do mixed rowing.
Okay.
So we have, you know, everybody out together.
So it caters kind of for the whole community now?
Everybody.
Anyone
yeah.
that
yeah.
is interested?
Absolutely. And you don't need to be able to swim.
Mm-hmm.
You wear a life jacket.
Yeah.
I've never known a boat to crash. I've never known anybody to fall out of a boat while rowing.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it is a pretty safe sport.
Yeah.
The only injury you're likely to get is when you're out of the boat
uh-huh.
on slippery rocks or slippery surfaces or whatever, or getting into the boat and sliding, but actually
yeah.
rowing, no.
Yeah.
Not really.
How competitive does it get? I know you said you can work hard and play hard for doubles in the picnic, but the racing, how competitive does it get? And does it take it with other clubs around the loch?
Yes,
is that the way it works?
We have lots of clubs around the loch. So we have Dundrum, mm-hmm. who are the world champions and have been for quite a number of years.
Three years. Yeah.
Or more, is it not more than that?
No, I think it's just the past three. The competition's every 3 years.
Yes.
And they have been world champions
okay.
the last three competitions. So the last 9 years they've held the title.
Okay.
Shall we say.
World champions, are we talking boots coming from quite far away?
Well, I went to the... Just actually not long after I joined the club, we went to the Worlds, which was in the Netherlands.
Uh-huh.
So it was a big contingency from the Netherlands.
Okay.
From Scotland, from England, from Ireland, Wales? Not very
directly
many.
Directly from Wales, but there are some boats in England as well.
And then we had a couple from America and Canada. So mm-hmm. when they say the Worlds, it's called the Worlds, but there's not representation from every country.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's still a big fleet of boats there. And competitive wise, yes, absolutely. You go to beat Dundrum.
Okay, so they've got the target on the back.
They have got the target on the back. And I will, on our loch, Strangford Loch, we have Dundrum, we have Caliph,
uh-huh.
we have Argas. We have Strangford, we have Portaferry, we have Kirkcubbon, Dunnacadie, Skettrick, and ourselves.
Okay.
There are a few others outside of the
mm-hmm.
loch, but those
mm-hmm.
are the ones that would be within
right,
the loch.
Okay.
And we would each generally hold our own regatta. Dundrum held theirs in the beginning of February. And we have to say that the Killala 60 plus mixed, which was Mike, he's beside me here, myself, Louise, and Glenn,
mm-hmm.
and coxed by Raymond, got gold. We literally pipped Dundrum to the post by, I don't know how, it was a tenth of a second or a second or whatever, but...
But you got them?
We got them.
And now you can
talk about
it.
Smiling. Talk about having a broad smile on your face for the rest of the day. Absolutely.
Very
but
good.
It's all in good spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, they cheer us. When you're going up to get your gold, they'll cheer as loud as anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they like the competition.
Uh-huh.
You know, because
yeah.
it keeps them on their toes as well.
That's
you
what
know?
You want in a league.
You know.
I think, is it a league structure or
no,
is it just kind of...
just individual regattas.
Okay, got you.
Just individual regattas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, literally, the next one is the Strangford Spring Series, which
uh-huh.
is, there's two weekends in April. And that's from, there'll be a race from Strangford to Killala.
Mm-hmm.
For the open women, and then the open men will race back from Killala to Strangford.
Okay.
And then the following Saturday we'll race from Strangford to Caliph Beach.
Right,
and then
okay.
back from Caliph Beach back to Strangford.
Is that how most races work then? Is it from point A to B,
no,
or can it change
no.
between
no,
courses?
No, Dundrum was literally, the course was 500 metres.
Okay.
So you started in the middle,
uh-huh.
and you went up to a buoy and turned, did the 500 metres, turned, back up to the 500 metres, turned back down to the 500 metres, and then finished in the middle.
Okay.
So you had four turns.
Right.
Most races are generally 2K. The world races would be 2K.
Okay.
That was a 2K race, but it just had four turns.
Yes.
Most races have one turn.
Okay.
I mean, the biggest local event would be Skiffy Fest, which is held at Delamont.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
you maybe will get a few of the Scottish teams coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a straight 1K out, a turn, and 1K back.
Okay.
For all the different
yeah.
categories.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Except for the juniors, who just do 1K rather than 2K.
Okay. And it's the turns is... Imagine you have to slow the boat down and turn it.
No.
No, you don't.
You actually want to be going into your turn as fast as you can.
Okay.
With a real power on. And you want to be literally just skimming the
okay.
buoy and as close to it as you can. And
okay.
getting away from the buoy as quick as you can as well.
Right.
So
no slowing
actually,
down.
You're actually...
Help for another.
You're far for 10 on your way towards the buoy.
Okay.
You're trying to get there as quickly
yeah.
as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And turn the boat as tight
yeah.
as you can.
The races you said about going from... Strangford to Caliph
or Strangford to
yeah.
Calais, yeah.
That sounds really interesting because it sounds a bit more, do you need to be more savvy with your tides and
generally,
that sort of thing?
Generally, they will do it that you're racing with the tide.
Okay.
Particularly in Strangford.
Right.
Because of the narrows.
Yeah.
I mean, the speed, if you were racing against the tide in the narrows, you wouldn't be going anywhere.
Yes, yeah.
But actually, I think Strangford, they have a section of the water that they call the treadmill.
Uh-huh.
so they can actually take the boat and set it and row without going anywhere. It's as
very
if they're
good.
On a thread boat because of the strength of the tide. We've experienced a little bit of that going over to Strangford and back. I mean, they have very choppy water and whirlpools and whatever, you know. But it's a good row because, again, it depends on the cocks, what line you take and, you know, how well you know the waters.
Yeah.
And then Porta Ferry, they have a regatta and their race is literally, I don't think it's as much as 2K, it's maybe 1.5K. But it literally takes 5 minutes and the race is over because you're flying with the tide.
Yeah.
You're going to cross with the tide. You go, oh, race start. Oh, race finish. You know.
No.
So every regatta is different, but fun.
You mentioned about Skippy Fest. Is that what it was called in Delamont?
It's a yearly event.
Yearly, okay. Yeah. I think I walked past it. I was out for a walk and just stumbled across it. But the social scene looked quite good. Like
they have lists. There's a tent and there's music and there's a bar and there's food and. All the clubs have their own little gazebos or whatever up.
Okay.
And it's ran over Friday evening, all day Saturday, and Sunday afternoon.
Very good.
It takes a lot of setting up and a lot of clearing up.
Well, thank you very much, Joy.
You're very, very welcome.
I'll let you get back to work. You've got off a wee bit, haven't you?
Very much so. Thanks, Sam.
David, I'll come out to you.
Because I happen to have a large shed. It basically became my responsibility to house the boats while they were being refurbished.
Okay.
That sort of pushed me into the position of being the club's bosun, which is the person who formally looks after the boat or the and a fair bit of the kit.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that for, David?
Well, pretty well since the start of the club, once the boats were launched.
Okay.
We needed a place to keep the boats, because we don't formally have a clubhouse yet, but it's something we've been working on for the number last few years. If I go back, as Joy was saying, this whole project was originally initiated by an organisation called Strangford Lough and Lochiel Partnership. And I think before my time, but the first World Championships for the St Isles Skiff, which is a boat that was designed in Scotland, happened in 2013 in Ullapool. And I believe one or two people from the Strangford Lough and the Kill Partnership were over there and made connections and saw that there was a really interesting possibility here for bringing St Isles skiffs to Strangford Lough and trying to encourage more people and more communities to really get back on the water.
Yes.
Because a lot of people did live around the water but didn't actually have very much connection with it. So the project came about through some money, I think, from a rural development funding, but also interestingly, the PSNI gave £20,000 towards purchase of, I think it was 9 boat kits.
Okay.
And the boat kits were basically marked out marine ply sheets that came in a box or on a forklift truck. And people who worked for the partnership went round the various villages around the loch and said, look, there's an opportunity here for you to get involved in this. And in fact, our now just recently chair who's just stepped down, Anne Fee, said that she was approached by staff who basically said, we've got these kits, you've got 48 hours to decide if you want to be part of this. There's a couple of people involved already, do you want to do it? And, well, fait accompli or threat, whatever. But it's not unusual that things happen in that way.
Yeah.
So Anne's an extremely active person within the community. At that point, there was also a part-time local librarian and knew lots and lots of things that were going on in the community and other people. So she gathered a group together.
Okay.
And the first thing we had to do was basically work out building a boat.
Yeah.
That's actually what's really crucial, I think, about St. Isles skiffs. The point is that from the beginning, you don't have a boat.
Okay.
You actually are given sheets of wood.
Yes.
And a design.
Okay.
Okay, the thing's cut out saying, over to you guys and girls, get on with building it.
Yes.
And we were given a very limited time scale in which to do this. Uh-huh. The kits arrived, I think, in March or possibly April in 2014. And it was already planned that we would have a challenge race in October in the Narrows, right? So basically, folk had 6 months in which to get to grips with building a boat. Now, the good thing about these boats is that it doesn't require an experienced boat builder to do it.
Okay.
One or two of the clubs did have, because there was obviously boat building knowledge around here, and one or two of the clubs did have people who had built boats before them. And in particular, I think Strangford had one or two people who'd done that. And it's no surprise that actually Strangford came out with an absolutely beautiful version of the boat.
Okay.
Not painted, but varnished.
Okay.
A year or two, maybe that year, no, it would have been the year after, I think, we were competing in what's the biggest and really very exciting race down in Cork.
Mm-hmm.
They won the prize for the most beautiful boat out
okay.
of the hundreds of boats
okay.
that were actually there. Just mentioning that, the what I'm talking about is the what's called the Ocean to City race that happens
okay.
in Cork on an annual basis. Attracts a huge number of different boats. There's our very main race, is a very long race, it's 27 kilometres, 15 nautical miles, takes between 2.5 and 3 hours of solid rowing to race. You come in through Cork Harbour on the tide and you finish in the middle of the city.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic race with hundreds of boats.
Uh-huh.
St Isles skiffs are one of them, but Curragh's, other dragon boats, in a variety of different
uh-huh.
different races. But it's a stunning event, and a certain amount of, not so much Guinness's, but Murphy's is probably consumed at this point. So we've actually already, we're in the process of booking in two teams this year to go with. That's happening on the 8th of June.
Okay.
Joy mentioned there about long rows to Kirkcubbin and other stuff
yeah.
like that. To do that, you need to do do a bit more training.
Okay.
But as we've gone on, although standard world's races are 2 kilometres and junior races are maybe as little as 1 kilometre,
mm-hmm.
certainly there's a lot of people in the club who've been very interested in and maybe particularly attracted to doing the longer, more endurance stuff. And I've seen that happening in Scotland as well, where actually people more for a social thing have done, you know, trips round out in parts of the Western Isles
mm-hmm.
and Scotland
mm-hmm.
on skiffs together.
Yeah.
So it's not just about banging out a 12 minute, 2 kilometre race. It may actually be about really doing something longer. But I think both of those things, well, also indicate that this is a very, very social sport.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Joy pointed out the mere fact that you've got 5 people in the boat means there's a lot of banter. But we have a lot of people here who just want to get out and row. And Strangford Loch, I've done a wee bit of rowing in Scotland as well. But boy, we have the best. We have the best place for doing this because you can get to places.
Yes.
You can go out to the islands for a picnic, but you can also go to some really challenging and interesting and unusual water, particularly in the Narrows.
Yeah.
So there's and the project has been incredibly successful because by providing so many boat kits to different communities around the loch, it automatically created a buzz and an opportunities for competition, socialising, etc. And I think it's no surprise that Dundrum surprised the Scots when they came over and became world champions
mm-hmm.
because we actually have a lot more opportunity for pleasant competition
yes.
Here than even the Scottish boats are. They're more disparate. Some of the Scottish boats are rowing on inland lochs as well as coastally. So everything comes together here, and it was just a fantastic idea, a fantastic thing that the Stranford Loch and the Draw Partnership folk identified as a thing.
Yeah.
Sport NI, 2 or 3 years ago, actually followed our project with some very significant research that they did, looking at just how many people had been animated and at what level. And if I remember correctly, one of the things that they did was ask people about what their health levels or fitness levels were, and they were measuring them specifically against the set World Health Organization levels. And overall, people reported after a season or two rowing that they had, you know, basically something like either their levels had gone up 44% or the level of participation, if you like, 44% was a very significant jump in that sense. And I think there was, at that period, well over 1,000, I think the figure is something like 1,200 or maybe even 1,400 people had become actively involved in rowing through their clubs, through all that, purely through this project.
Yeah.
And also, most importantly, if you look at the demographics of the clubs, one of the things that Mike McClure, who was the person within Sport NI who was looking after water sports particularly, was making the point, and it was very clear within our clubs as well, that the participation, Joyce said we were maybe 50s heavy, over 50s heavy, but participation within water sports, and particularly these clubs, ranges from, okay, we have a lower limit of 11, but people into their 70s and 80s, it's right across the board, which is very different from many of the ball sports, which tend to be more male orientated and tend to be people between 12 and 25, and then they kind of die off the sport. Water sports and rowing like that, is the profile's very, very different in terms of contributions to health and well-being, across the generations, and fun. It's just great.
I think it's great to have a sport like that where it provides consistency. You were saying about ball sports and stuff, I've just stopped playing rugby, and although I'd like to think it's it was my routine for years and years, whereas I have, for example, sailing, whereas it's consistent, and I know we'll keep doing that, and I think it's so important for people to have that.
Some people could say it's a load of balls, you know, but ball sports do seem to have those points, maybe not really. I think what I notice is that if you look at the demographic profile of what we've got, where we tend to tail off is persons between sort of mid-20s and 40.
Okay.
But that's generally because they've got small kids. And I suppose one of the challenges, but I think we're addressing it quite well, is to have a good juniors and good support to juniors. Mm-hmm. And I think we can fairly say in Killyleagh particularly that we've done that and continue to do so. We've got some of the regattas we've been to, it's been the juniors who pulled us through, because we've had really good junior coaches, junior teams. Obviously, what tends to happen at times is that juniors, once they hit 18, 20, like, they're going to go off to further education, university, whatever like that. And there's a wee bit of a question, are we going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
But we've built that in, and I think we are, as far as possible, I think, creating a sustainability for the sport. And on the other end of it, this sport, for many people, myself included, started in my 60s, late 50s, late 60s. I'm very pleased about the fact that one of our rowing classes, which doesn't happen at every event, but quite often, there isn't just an over 50s and an over 60s boat, but there's a boat, usually a class, in which the ages of the four rowing crew have to add up to over 280.
Wow, okay.
So you're looking at an average of at least 70. I don't think you'll find a lot of the other sports or team sports are like that, that actually have that built in. So it's really good. And again, it's a brilliant aerobic sport.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're not, people tend to think aerobics is often about running or something like that. But it's not a sport in which you get hurt, as Joy was saying. But it's hugely good for breathing, and all that kind of stuff, and just getting the air and blood and everything else through your relevant muscles. So it's great.
So what are the plans for the future of Killaloe Coastal Rowing Club then? Is there more boats on the horizon, do you think? Or it's too enough for the time being?
At the moment, interestingly, we have two boats, and we have currently... Joy, it's about 75 members, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, the ratio tends to be more women than men. Sort of at times it's been almost 2/3 women, I think actually. I think it's hard for me to predict exactly, but we're often talking about more boats. But actually, two boats. Given that we use these boats really heavily. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that when we started that very quickly we moved to rowing right through the winter, because the traditional sailing season is March if you're lucky, April maybe through to September, October. Mm-hmm. Then people take the boats out of the water and they don't do anything other than scrub them and paint them, whatever. So it's in the sailing season is very short. And if you look at how people use their boats, with luck they're out on a Tuesday or Wednesday night to do a race and maybe... a wee bit of something at the weekend.
Yeah.
They're only mucking about with their boat twice. These boats are used regularly at the weekend with three crews on Saturdays, on Sundays, and during the week as well. So it'd be quite normal for us to have these boats out at least 10 times in the week.
Yeah.
And that's the two boats. So that's five people in a boat each time.
Yeah.
Do the maths.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of people in these boats.
Yeah.
I think realistically, the issues for us are if we get further boats, if we need them, we also need places to store them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have for really a number of years now been trying to identify. We do have a compound in which where we store the boats, but they're outside in the open air. We've been aiming. And we even have planning permission at the moment for putting the boats, housing them in a couple of containers, along with plans to join up with the Belfast Kayak Club, who also want to be located on one of the canoe trail entrances here down at the network in Killaloe. The problem has been funding or the timing of funding, but we're still on that track with yet another application to do that. I think we're very pleased to hear that Dundrum, for example, have recently got a grant of £30,000 from their own development association to build a really decent big shed in Dundrum, and some other places have access to other facilities. So it's a bit chicken and egg, actually, because additionally we're also talking about, as a club, do we need an additional safety boat, that kind of thing? Because every time you have a regatta, we end up borrowing safety boats or basically depending on the goodwill of others to produce those. There's an organisation based in Bangor, which I'm a member of, called Safer Waters, which actually only started up a few years ago, recognising that there was such an increasing demand for safety boats, for not just regattas like this, but for big canoeing events, for wild water swimming events, which has exploded over the last few years as well. So We would have a good working relationship with them, and also a number of us in the club are actually also members of Safer Waters. And that's another skill, if you like, that some of us are developing. I never sat in a power boat until last year, we need those skills. So it's another part of the value of actually being in an organisation like this. So once you're in, if you like, you see there's another set of things that maybe need to be done, and in some cases for some people that means another boat or like this, or it may even, there's a lot of talk in the club at times also about maybe getting another type of boat as well, and a number of us have managed to be at competitions where we've been able to try those out and see what the differences are. So you know, it's ongoing, I suppose. If you say the interest and enthusiasm is something that's always going to, if you like, that's a key driver of the sustainability of the club as well. But as to where we are in 5 years or whatever,
we'll see.
That's up to all the people that are involved.
Yeah. Thank you very much, dear.
Okay.
It's good to hear about the club and how it's connecting people to the water, and wishes all the best for all the rest of the rowing you're doing this year. And I know you're saying, I was going to say upcoming season, but I don't need to say that if you're rowing all the time. So,
The regattas are generally February to September.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. If you like, and Dundrum has started off with this race that they called the Icebreaker, because they actually deliberately had it. I think the first one was the day after Boxing Day.
Okay.
And they tried to do it, keep it very much in that. Inevitably, what happens is that, October onwards, it really starts to get difficult to row because the weather is so variable. And in fact, this year has been really shocking, for the amount of cancellations we've had to do, whether that's to do with climate change or just we're unlucky, all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Hopefully, the
Dundrum one last year had to be cancelled after the couple of races. So this year, I think, partly learning from that, they tried to do it in January. They moved it to the middle of February with a chance of getting slightly better weather.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for letting me into your shed. I'm glad you've been able to do some work while I've been pestering you.
So that brings my chat with Joey and David to an end. During the evening, I got the sense that this club brings together all ages of the community and brings them together with other people and ultimately closer to their coastline. If you'd like to find out more about joining the club, you can message them on Facebook at Killaloe Coastal Rowing Club, or perhaps this has inspired you to check out a club closer to where you are at the minute. But anyway, I want to thank Joey, David and the rest of the members at the club for having me, and I wish them all the best for the future.